We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
Hello, hello. How's everybody doing out there? YDBT Daily coming to you on a Thursday, January 26, 2023. Today, I am hoping you guys will allow me to indulge in a little bit of a different subject matter. Typically, I'd be talking about Ford cutting jobs because I love ragging on Ford. I would be talking about Chevy investing millions of dollars into developing yet another generation V8. But today, I think this one is more of a broader and further reaching subject matter where I will outline how tracks die. Not on necessarily by having a, let's say, a master plan community be built next to it, like what's happening in Bradenton. But this one is involving investment firms, what they do to grab a bunch of land, because what do drag race tracks have more than anything? Land. And depending on where strategically they're located, it can be a good long-term investment. But how do you get people not interested in a track? We will talk about it. It's going to be a good time. But before we do that, as always, we want to thank the sponsors. That's right, the sponsors, the people that make it happen, the people that keep the disco ball rolling. That's right. We got PMAS. Nick James PMAS gave away $50 on Tuesday. Thank you very much for doing a giveaway. Appreciate that. Two Auto Solutions. I got my tracking number for my ZR1 headers. They're going to go on probably Saturday or Sunday. I'll try to get you a video on that. Parts Farm. PartsFarm.com. They have two GT500. Two 2020 GT500. Motor and DCTs, crate setups ready to go. PartsFarm.com. Oh My God Cookies, Pretty Lady with the Cookies, and the Pretty Man with the Corvette. They run the show over there. Oh My God Cookies. Oh My God Cookies.com. Oh My God Cookies _LLC on Instagram. And we got Calamer's Transmission. Ben Calamer got the T56 on a pallet, and it's on its way to me. Thank you for everyone coming through. I love working with people that come through. Let's say hi to the people. Give me about 15 minutes to talk my shit. Then we'll get to the non-peasant members only chat. If you want to become part of the chat, it's as little as $6 a month to just be able to chat on all the chats, specifically Tuesdays and Thursdays. Sometimes I do it on Friday. And the Sunday chat is for subscribers only. Fresh Pasteles, Fresh Pastelazo, Wit SVT, and TJ Sikorsky with the first up. Sub-Zero, Nitrous and Bio Supply, Clean 93 GT, Giovanni Sanchez, The Black GT500, which is the FN Send It podcast. I got your shirts. I got your koozies. I appreciate you very much. Chase says, hi, Santos, DNG Brandon, 64 Falcon, Bill Morrison, Harley Tacuache Mote, Second Shift Racing, Jason, Large Macchiato, Nitrous and Bio Supplies, Angel Puerto Rico, Paul Ponthieu, Large Macchiato again, Wesley Stewart, Minibike Madman, Diego Flores, Gallo Bravo, Jose Sanchez, Ignacio Ramirez, Josh Roy, Andy Black Betty, Frank Weaver, Whipple 5-0, Great Escape 1350, Puerto Tan Rico, Ignacio Ramirez, Dunn, Izzy R, what's up, Izzy? Bondo Bird, missing third, Donkey Mac, 82Z28, Gregory Upvich, 302 Coyote, Matthew Alvarez, Peter Chow, Angry Saturn, Jason, Ignacio, Kona Blue, Mr. Gutierrez, Lee Presley, Irving, thank you for the $10, said Wild Horse Pass Track in Phoenix, supposedly closing 2023. I'll catch up later. Saludos. Thank you very much. Kellen Stocks, Jason Ventimiglia, Mike H got out of his 40-hour week job. Great Mustang, Puerto Rico, bring your wood screws. Anthony Perez, Tony Dominguez, 5-0 Kid Production, Santa Gotta Go Fast, Blake Bethune, Donkey Mac, Ian Martha, John Modless, Nixon Tarpia, the OG, Patrick, 302, potential 40-hour week. Love that name. Click Clap the Horse, 302 Coyote, and all the usual suspects. Let's talk about how a track dies. Tracks, if you notice, have a lot of land, a ton of parking, a quarter mile of real estate and return road. Typically, there's something else attached to a track, whether it be a go-kart track, whether it be a road course, whether it be anything else, monster truck, mud pit, whatever. So Palm Beach International Raceway was one of those tracks that pretty much had everything. It had a go-kart track. It had a road race track, Palm Beach International, Palm Beach, I don't know. Well, I don't know what the fuck they called it. And they had a drag track, which was very nice. Nice scoreboard timing boards, whatever you want to call them. Beautiful grandstands. I mean, if you want to see the most beautiful grandstands ever, go to BNP. They bought them. And nice return road. It was located in a swampland, nothing around it. So you thought to yourself, this bitch is going to be around forever. Now enter a company called IRG. IRG are the people that bought the track from its predecessor, Moroso. This track was known as Moroso for 52 years. I've been here since 2015. And in 2015, people started saying Moroso. And I'm like, what do you mean Moroso? And they're like, Moroso. And I'm like, you mean Palm Beach International Raceway? Yeah, but we all call it Moroso. So 60 years, the track was here. So IRG bought the track. And if you wanted to kill a track, what's the best way to do it? Run it like shit. Run it like shit. People will stop going. I remember when I first would go to the track, it was packed on drag radial day. Slicks and drag radial day, thing was packed. And I was like, this is popping. I was so happy that the track was 15 minutes away from me in paradise. I'm in Florida, West Palm Beach, paradise. And all of a sudden, I have a track 15 minutes from my house. I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to drive my cars there, race. And if it breaks, it's only 15 minutes away. No big deal. And then the next year, less and less glue was down. Less maintenance was happening to the track. They operated with a skeleton crew and at a bare minimum. So a lot of people started having rumblings of, they're not running this track good. They're just waiting for it to die. So fast forward, it dies. And the owners are the people, the representatives of the people that own the track, because I don't think there's a single owner. I think it's a conglomerate of a group that used this like a venture capitalist or an investment firm that bought other tracks, because guess what other tracks IRG owns? Memphis, closed. Cordova, Illinois, closed. Mechanicsville, Maryland. Palm Beach International Raceway closure came as IRG put in place deals to sell its other three tracks, Memphis, Cordova, Mechanicsville, Maryland. So they own four tracks and they ran Palm Beach International Raceway like ass so that they can say, nobody's showing up. It's not making any money. What the hell's going on? So we're just going to shut it down because nobody is showing up. Where you know and I know, if the prep is on point, the track is legit, you clean up after an accident, you put amenities there. They literally had a concession stand that was a trailer, okay? So they ran it like shit and wanted it to die. Why? Because they saw that Florida was being populated very quickly and they thought, this is a big hunk of land. This is almost 100 acres of land that we have here and we bought it for what? $3 to $5 to $6 million way back in the day. So if we can double, triple, quadruple our profit, well, that'll look really good on somebody's portfolio. And that's exactly what happened. Now, if you follow it, it becomes super interesting. Today, like the track is closed and supposedly is never going to open again, but there's a very small group of hardcore racers that are going to make life hell for the people that are trying to sell this and rezone this. Because what happened? Back when they were trying to sell it to the original purchaser, that fell through because of zoning. So subsequently, the zoning was dropped based on potentially rights of way, meaning a border around the track that basically outlined the track. And if that was still left in place, then it would then all of a sudden make it really difficult to use this as a warehouse. So what did they do? In subsequent emails, a wonderful person by the name of, what is her name? Jennifer Davis, right here. Jennifer Davis basically wanted to know what the hell happened that one day the rights of way were removed and they wanted to then have a meeting about rezoning it to warehouse, because as it stands, you cannot use it as warehouse space because it is not zoned as such. until these rights of way were taken care of. So she paid $187 and got a bunch of emails. And in the emails right here, when Racetrack owners, IRG Sports Entertainment, a company owned by the Sixth Street investment firm, decided to close the track and sell the land to warehouse builder Portman Industrial, buffers and setbacks required to maintain those road rights were impeding their plans. The buffers and setbacks were impeding the plans to finish the sale to Portman Industrial. But the Zoning Commission, after hearing complaints from disgruntled racing fans determined to block the warehouse takeover of their beloved track, voided unanimously on April 7th last year to deny the warehouse plan. So after that, they somehow got that taken care of. Like, weird backroom deals and weird zoning allowed people to allowed the furthering the process of potentially applying for this to become zoned for warehouse space. County staff moved quickly to help landowner avoid zoning obstacles, but never publicly told the commission or the public why. So imagine the rights of way were in place and avoided this to become a zoning for warehousing. Then backroom deals and staff moved quickly to avoid the obstacles and never told anybody, and then announced a meeting in the middle today, January 26th at 11 p.m. where people are at work, and they tried to make it so that they would go forward with the rezoning. Well, these few people, led by people like Jennifer Davis and Travis Lewis, this guy right here, Toes R Us, and all these other guys, actually showed up to this town meeting to thwart the plans of IRG, I think it's called. And they basically made the guy lead, this guy right here, Louis Partenza. Just so everybody knows, says Jennifer Davis, and everyone understands, their application was denied without prejudice, meaning they are now, their mission is to become a thorn on the side of the company that took the track away from them. I love it. And I had no idea this was happening. And now I am all in. I am 100% all in. I want to know what's happening. Now, there is no way this track is going to come back. We all know the track is gone. The grandstands are gone. The scoreboards are gone. It's all gone. All that's left is a track. And they want to sell the land for $100 million. Guys, I repeat, because the land can potentially go for $1 million an acre in Palm Beach County. I hope that sinks in, guys. That when you guys tell me, Alex, you have a 2-2 and you're poor, I go, you don't understand. Acreage up that way, warehousing, is $1 million an acre for the land. So what they did was deny the application without prejudice. That means that they can reapply, but as soon as they wish, it also means most likely a protracted lawsuit against the county. This is not over, says Jennifer Davis, but we are determined to make it as painful as possible for Lou Partenza and IRG in the hopes that they will give up, but they have very deep pockets. So this guy left pissed off because the five or whatever million dollar acquisition that happened 10 years ago now can't be, I don't know, 1,000% in terms of made to $100 million so that they can sell it to a warehousing situation. And I am blown away that that is happening. In, I never even thought for a second that an investment firm would go ahead and grab land, great, grab a bunch of land and say, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sit on this land and we're going to not really maintain it in the hopes that in the future, somebody comes in and grabs it for millions and millions of dollars. It's kind of like a long-term investment. But imagine if they would have gone out of their way. They would have updated the tower, updated the track, actually made that viable, made it a thriving, hustling, and but because, guys, the winter testing for NHRA cars happened here. Like, there were so many things that happened here that was gone, and management didn't give a fuck. They just didn't care. I lived here and I barely heard of any rentals happening. And if you heard of a rental, people are going to go, why in the hell am I going to go? Why the hell am I going to go to a track rental? If they're not going to put glue down, it's going to cost me $250. And then they say the weather was an issue. One of my friends said, actually, with today's technology, they can literally say the following. You're on a list, right? People that do test and tune are on a list. You put that in a data bank somewhere and you say, by the way, pop-up rental next Wednesday, conditions are going to be legit, $50 each, get in here. You don't think they'd make a bunch of money? You don't think they'd make a bunch of money? I was blown away at the backroom deals that was happening for Palm Beach International Raceway to not only meet its demise, but to be rezoned without anyone knowing so that the warehouse zoning can go through. So that's how tracks can die, because of land grabs, because of investment firms that come in, make it dilapidated, make it run like shit. Have you seen your track slowly go away when it used to be Billy Badass because it recently got sold to a new entity and all of a sudden it went away? Yes. Unlike BMP. BMP is going to go away because of residential. I don't care if they build racer garages. I don't care what they do. All you need is 10 residents to complain about the noise, and there goes the track. So I thought it was really interesting. I'm going to keep an eye on that. I thought it was really, really fucked up that local government was trying to go out of its way to help out IRG sell the property for $100 million. And you don't really think, why do you think those people in the council and those boards are there? Do you think they're there because they want to serve the public? Or do you think they're there because they can line their pockets with big money, deep pocket investment companies like that to basically have stuff go their way and they can make a whole bunch of money? Crazy shit. The track's not coming back. I know it. But man, I love hearing that people are fucking with them just to say, fuck you. We're going to be at every board meeting, every single little thing, just to make sure that you spend a lot of money and reapply a billion times to make the sale. Good shit. So anyway, yeah, that's going to be an interesting setup. Someone said, what track are you referring to, Mechanicsville, Maryland? MIR. MIR. IRG owns MIR. Owns. So I don't know what happened, if they bought it from them. I don't know. But you saw those tracks listed. One of them was MIR. Dropping a like and it got off of work in the AM. I watch in the morning. Maryland National Raceway makes way too much money to close. At least I hope you guys think, because one event a year is super dumb packed, that tracks make money hand over fist. Tracks generally lose money. Are you willing to pay $200 for a test and tune? No, 20. That's the most you'll pay. Well, imagine 200 cars show up and they all pay $20. How much does it cost for glue, equipment, the light bill, and all of the amenities and all of the employees? Someone got greased. Exactly. I work more than 40 hours, so I don't have time. Line those pockets. I'm an adult. I don't play video games. Okay, gotcha. You should just try 40, then you can play. My good friend Randy spoke there today. Mike H is on fire tonight. Must be arrested this week. I think he thinks that's a flex, but I'm telling you, dude, you look really stupid saying you work 40 hours and you're thinking it's a flex, especially if you got a family. If you got a family and you're the sole provider, 180 ain't shit. You and I both know. And depending on where you live, unless you live in Kansas, 180 ain't shit. Alex, you're poor because of where you live, says the casual pocket watcher that lives next to a Boost Mobile and a Mako. I did get my fuel system 270. Oh my God, stop it. I thought this was a racial channel. Alex sounds like a real estate investor. He knows all the political ins and outs and all the political hookups. Mike, you're spamming the chat right now. You're looking stupid. Something tells me you have plenty of time to get it in, Mike. Maryland National Raceway is always a great track. I can't see it going away. The closest track to me is over an hour away, and it's a toilet. A decent track is at least 2-hour drive. Right. For me, it's Bradenton, which I don't want to go to. No offense. I think Bradenton is a nice track. But when I hear these people say the best track in the country, I'm like, you guys might want to drive around some more. It probably holds the best events, but if you're going to tell me that BMP is the best track in the country, you should drive around to more tracks. I think Gainesville is a better track than BMP. It has a way bigger return road, way more parking. You don't run over people in FL2K. In FL2K, the staging lanes go into the vendor area. So please stop it with that. 1 year is barely enough for Atlanta Motor Speedway. I've been at MIR over the years. Only World Cup brought any attendance. The only other events was Ford and Chevy weekend. Shit, actually work time. I might work 20 hours this week. Alex, how was your visit to the Mexican grocery store? Yeah, that was interesting. So I love the fact that people are passionate about it, because now it's out of spite. Now it's like, you know what? Fuck you. We're going to get after it. We're going to make sure that your life is miserable, miserable. And we can make you spend more money than you normally would not have. You know, this gives me time because I got through it quicker. Look, I was very condensed in it because I don't want to bore you guys. I don't want to lose you guys. But I want to make sure that you know what happens in the backside where a big company buys multiple tracks with a lot of land and they probably put it in a nice portfolio somewhere and they promise their investors in that portfolio a certain amount of returns. And once the fight is on, the returns become less and less. And those people count on those returns. They project their earnings based on those returns. So if anything gets in the way of those returns, they're going to be bad. They're going to be mad, man. So let's talk about Ford cutting jobs really quick. Reuters reports. Oh, I love fucking with Ford. Ford to cut up to 3,200 European jobs. Union says vowing to fight. Wait a minute, union. Why are you fighting? They need to make the world green. You signed up for that shit. What's the problem? Berlin. Ford Motor Company plans to cut up to 3,200 jobs across Europe and move some product development work to the United States. That's not bad. That's a good thing. Germany's IG Metall Union says Monday, vowing action that would disrupt car makers across the continent if the cuts go ahead. Rising costs for electric vehicle battery materials and projected slowdowns in the U.S. and European economies are putting pressure on the automaker to cut expenses. The EV price war launched by Tesla earlier this month has intensified that pressure, analyst says. Did you see Tesla's earnings? Bro. The company wants to axe 2,500 jobs in product development and 700 in administrative roles in German locations mostly affected, IG Metall said. Workers in the U.S. carmaker's Cologne site, Colonia, which employs about 14,000 people, including 3,800 at the development center in Merenkink area, were informed of the plans at work council meetings today on Monday, blah, blah. Basically, Ford is cutting jobs in Germany. Why the fuck do we care? We don't. We want the jobs to come back. Sorry, Germany. We're about to bring everything back to the United States. Like, I don't understand why any automaker would... I understand why. I get it. They're a global company. I understand 100%. I'm not stupid. They even have shit in China. I get it. Tesla has a huge plant in China and they sell to China from that plant. I 100% understand it. But I don't understand why an American company is incentivized to go elsewhere. What is it that made Ford go to Germany? Was it a land lease that was better? Was it incentives by the country to bring work there? Because imagine a Chinese company starts propping, oh wait, that already happened. Ford tried to do it. And we said, no, fuck you. And he got chastised by Jalopnik. Some Jalopnik super liberal columnist was like, Youngkin doesn't want the people in Virginia to have jobs. No, stupid. We don't want a fucking communist country that we are about to go to war with over Taiwan, if I'm not mistaken, to have a footing in the United States. Fuck you, stupid. Got to drive 3 hours for the closest drag strip. It sucks in Memphis International. Shut down. No close quarter mile track. Alex, you notice all the other Mustang YouTubers trying to live stream again? Again? Look, this is going to be the problem with other Mustang YouTube live streamers. You have no motherfucking personality and you don't have Billy Badass soundboard.
To this day.
You still don't have it.
To this day.
You still don't have it.
You just sit here, you don't know what I'm talking about?
Right? You tell him, Deontay. Shit. Sorry I'm late. I was at sauna getting a burger and tots. Surely Germany can't complain. They've been supported by Ford since the 40s. Oh, shit. Keep the racing off the street and at the track. Take that, employees. I'm only able to watch the show at work. Who has the time to not multitask? Taxes is why they went there. Yeah, I understand that, Black GT500, but why is the United States not keeping people here? Like, keep the American companies in America. Like, I love the fact that when Papi Trump was in office, he was putting tariffs on shit. He was saying, you got a product coming in from China. Because the trade deficit is ridiculous. And it made manufacturers just take off. And you think China sees Ford pop up in their country and they go, oh yeah, we totally not going to copy your stuff at all. Well, you're going to come here and you can do whatever you want. We're not going to do anything at all. We're going to make sure you have good facility and you can have really good electricity and you can pollute as all you want. It's not a problem. Just come on here and no problem. And then when people punch out,
they go in and they're like, oh, we gonna copy this Dark Horse. Dark Horse? Why the hell are they gonna name a car after a Target wine? Is this made in China? Is Target wine made in China? No. It says it may cause heart problems. Anyway. Gonna watch Derek's live stream right now. Is he gonna rap? He should freestyle on live. They don't have the Hellcats and Trackhawks. Right, you guys got to get the soundboard. See, once they get the soundboard, it changes everything. Hellcats and Trackhawks. They got Timmy on the turn up and the blast off. He went and got caught for that body, took his mask. I would say that no car YouTuber has the live stream that I have. Look at what happened with the smoking tire. Like, that guy has a live stream or a podcast, and he has a lot of subscribers. Nobody watches that shit live. It's not entertaining. I keep the racing in the sheets done in less than 10 seconds. Ignacio, I'm going to go. Welcome to Shitty Ford. Can I take an auto pre? Oh, Ford, you can come over here. You set up shop. It's no problem. Yeah, go ahead. Just set up shop right over there. Oh, look, a C-130 just crashed right in our country. Oh, United States, you want it back? Okay, we'll give it back to you after we are done reverse engineering everything. Dark Horse Wine is more American than the Mustang. They want to copy the software back. Diet Coke money, Bicho. Thank you. What's up, Alex? About to start PA-ing the next bill together. Your live stream reminds me of Boxing Gego's stream. Don't know what that is. So yeah, if other countries are making it really, really enticing to have Ford, Chevy, and everyone else, Mexico, like imagine, what the fuck is Mexico going to give them? Like, hey, we're going to let the cartels protect your intellectual property. That's probably the best security on the planet. Coca-Cola can attest. I checked out some of the other car streamers live. Everyone in the chat had blue color names. Oh, Jesus. Everyone's a mod. So basically like three guys were talking on the live. So I'm blown away that's allowed to happen. But cutting jobs in Germany is actually a good thing. And then you heard that Chevy invested money in making a V8. So might as well talk about all of it because I got everything out quickly. Fox Business. I love it. I love reading anything from Fox. I mean, they suck too, but whatever. General Motors investing $854 million to build the V8 engine amid EV shift. The ice age is definitely not over at General Motors. The automaker has announced an $854 million investment in four factories to build new generation of V8 internal combustion engines in the full-size trucks and SUV market. These investments, coupled with the hard work and dedication of our team, blah, 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 the money will go towards engine and parts manufacturing in the Flint engine operations and the Bay City GPS in Michigan, Defiance operations in Ohio, and Rochester operations in New York. An additional $64 million has been earmarked for electric vehicle component production in Defiance and Rochester, part of a $35 billion it plans to spend on EVs and autonomous technologies through. So basically, same thing Ford's doing, right? Ford did the exact same thing. So I don't know why that's news, because everyone think, look, I think the V8 is not going to go away. This EV stuff everyone's afraid of, it's only applicable to light trucks and passenger vehicles, the ones that have the most footprint on the road. You're not going to see the 3,500s, the 2,500s, three-quarter ton, one tons. What do you call the ones like a work truck situation where they basically just sell you a cab and you can reconfigure the bed, which whatever you want. Those are always going to have a gas option. Always. There's no way, in my opinion, the heavy-duty truck market will ever go EV. Alex, thank you for helping with something that you don't even know what you did. Wait, Alex? Okay. Alex, thank you for helping with something you don't even know you did, okay? Also, Cleet put out a literal 21-minute video today praising Ford and how badass their engines and tech are. It was actually pretty cool. Good for him. Look, I think, like, when I did the Cooper Baghetti podcast, and I don't know when that's coming out, but I hope you guys catch it. I it's like the most unflattering angle. It looks like I have the biggest gut on the planet, but whatever. It was funny. I am blown away that whole camp, and there's a lot of LS boys that still don't know that Coyote is king fucking daddy when it comes to not modifying the engine.
Like, give me a cliff notes as to what he said, because God damn it, I can't watch that video. Coyote Fury says, FLKA, fuck Joe Biden, and FJF. Who's JF? Fuck Joe, fuck Larry Kelly Aiken, fuck Joe Biden, fuck, I don't know who that is. I was watching a podcast and some girl literally said she was from the puro pinche 956 a la verga, cuz I died.
Puro pinche 956 a la verga.
LS12 coming soon. Chevrolet probably designed something that we all want, unlike Ford. Chevy's new V8 built by cuz for cuz. I bet Chevy ends up with a hybrid V8 in the truck. That'd be cool. The only good thing, Fox is Tucker Carlson. FBC, don't know what that is. EV is trendy. Patrick Lynch says, also, there's an arms race to get into Formula One to develop hybrid technology. They have hybrid technology in Formula One. They have KERS, don't they? Isn't KERS... No, KERS is the, isn't KERS the arrow? Or is KERS also the arrow and the button to have another 100-something horse or whatever? You let me know. He put out a video on the Godzilla. Stop it. He put out a video on the Godzilla and this Chris Y is trying to... Boy, shut up. Jason says, Alex, does Lund still mess with Maximum Velocity Motorsports in San Antonio? Look. We fucks with whoever wants to buy a tune. The dealer model is awesome, but you've started to see a lot of people stray. And I'm gonna be honest with you, a lot of people aren't down with the HP tuner stuff. Like TDN has had a bunch of issues. TDN needs a complete overhaul. I mean, it needs everything. It needs crank relearns done. It needs full rights done. It needs to not necessarily have internet, just Bluetooth. But I understand why they do it. Because they have to, I think, validate the checksums online. And a lot of guys that drive their car or their data logging, the logger stops midway through the logger. So they have to, they've sent me 6 or 7 data logs and I don't blame them. Like, I don't blame them for sending me 6 or 7 data logs. So this is what I tell people. If you're having trouble with TDN, flash that bitch with a laptop and we're back to SET dead rat days. Hell, now SET has a dead rat and a dead rat cousin to flash the fucking truck because you got to like plug it directly to the PCM. What the fuck? We gone backwards. Cletus did the 7.3. So you're telling me Cletus did a cool video talking about Ford engines and it's the Godzilla? Boy, shut up. Jim Farley, he said Godzilla is like the modern, more advanced LS. Oh my lord. Oh my lord. I'm starting to consider a Coyote Swap Fox. Psych. Burble tunes are for smooth brains. It's unfortunate though. He's doing cylinder heads, cam work before making passes. No factory sealed Zilla versus Coyote comparisons. Great escape. Just like I told everybody, the Godzilla is no different than an LS. If you have to do cam and heads in it right away, what the fuck good is that motor? Well, it's got displacement and you can... Well, so does an old 460. So does... Open up a Ford Racing catalog. Go to FFRE and say, hey, I need something big cubic inch, pushrod, Ford-based, badass heads and a cam. And they'll say, here you go. Give us $17,000. Here you go. With the Godzilla... Okay, this is the whole reason people swap engines in their cars. They see them perform in the engine, in the platform that they came in. So when you considered a Coyote, you considered a Coyote swap because you saw Coyotes in Mustangs straight get it. Wait, what? He made 900 with 14 PSI? Wait, what? He went 8s with just turbos and E85? What? Stock motor unopened? Jeez, I want that in my car, right? That's why people get swaps. No one ever said, look at that F-250, pull the boat out of the water. I want that in my car. No one ever said that. Yeah, Cletus did a Godzilla video. I didn't watch it. I might watch it later. Fuck all that. I don't recommend that shit at all. KERS is the button. The big auto players are backing teams to develop technology. Yeah, no way service truck could be EV. We need them running for almost 12 hours a day. Alex, did you buy a Tacuache lettuce? Oh my God. No, thank you. So Cletus doing heads and cam to Godzilla. Clown makeup and wig incoming. Just like I told you guys. You guys thought I was stupid. A lot of you guys and a lot of Ford guys said, Alex is a clown. Alex doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Hey, asshole. The motor ain't worth shit unless you put cam and heads in it. Just like an LS. People call them the E-Ray junk when they have a Navi Swap New Edge. Apparently, the Godzilla uses the same lifters as an LS. That makes a lot of sense. They must be getting him a Raptor RSAW Stangchild's quarter mile vid on it earlier. Don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. Why not just buy Steve Morse's engine? By the time you're done with the Godzilla build, the price will be similar. I think the Steve Morse engine is like $35,000. It ain't fucking cheap. Right. A 460 base 514 crate motor makes more power for less. So if you're in the Godzilla swap game, not only do you have to get a new pan, new oil pump, new front drive accessory, how are you going to tune it? The only auto you put in it is a turbo 400 or a 4R70 manually shifted. Actually, not even that. You got to find the right bell housing because that motor's bolt pattern for the bell housing is for a 10R100 or whatever the fuck. 10R140, whatever the hell the big super duty 10R80s are, that's the bolt pattern. So you can't stick a manual in that thing. That engine as a swap engine is a dud and a loser. It's heavy. Yeah, it makes a bunch of torque, but so does a fucking 514. What is wrong with people? They treated it like a group of kids finding their first Playboy, much amazement. You can tell he gets paid to talk it up. So look, you got to see, you got to look at that channel as a product placement channel, right? That channel is a product placement channel at this point because they get given something and they have to talk it up. And if it sucks, I don't know if they'll say anything. Who knows? That's why I was a little leery about us being involved in the channel because you saw how they run the shit over there. You know, they're a little destructive. But luckily, the tune won't be blamed for things like a transfer case failing. I just seen the thumbnail, had to see what it was all about, and seen the motor he had. Wouldn't an LS be lighter? Look, I don't know shit about LSs. But I know that if I was going to build a pushrod V8, it wouldn't be a Godzilla. It would be a small block Ford 351 base like I currently have. Or something crate, or maybe something Chevy based, like a big block Chevy. What are the top indicators that someone is selling out? Product placement, unfortunately. And you got to understand, see, everybody wants to keep it real. And everybody wants their favorite YouTuber to be real. It's real difficult because eventually we got to pay bills, right? I'm doing my best to not have this channel run by somebody else. If the channel, I don't think this channel will ever, I repeat, I don't think this channel will ever get to 100,000 subs. And I'm fine with that. I am so fine with that. Now, do I think this channel will have 10,000 members? Oh yeah. One day, this channel is going to have 10,000 paying members paying at least $6 a month. And I can rely on that income to keep putting stuff on the channel. But when it comes to subs to me are more of a casual thing. Let me click subscribe and get notified so I can see his video. When you are a member, you are invested in the, and you have a say in the direction of the channel. Because if you go on the members section, if you're a member, I ask you guys questions. I give you guys members only videos. And I try to steer the channel in a way that you guys would like to see it. So I would rather have 10,000 members at 70,000 subs than 150,000 subs and 3 members, for sure. I'd rather, the membership to me is better. And there has to be a way eventually that I get the membership off of YouTube because YouTube keeps a chunk. So if I was able to keep all the membership money, I wouldn't need as much to be able to have the same income and be able to get you guys cool shit. How long until they start comparing the Coyote truck to the Zilla Fox as proof of it being legit? I have no idea, but the Godzilla is not going to hook. The truck can get it on the street. His Coyote truck can get it on the street. Probably could run nines on the street. No Godzilla notch is running nines on an unprepped road. No way. This video is sponsored by, hey, what's up, guys? This video is sponsored by, and the ring alarm or whatever, and I don't think I'm going to have like an outside sponsor that doesn't have to do with cars or anything like that. And Oh My God Cookies, those people were followers and they started a cookie company and said, hey, can we advertise on your show? I said, absolutely. Good evening. Haha, YouTube like punk rock bands. Only cool until you can afford a tour van, then you're passe. How many members are you right now? Okay, let's check how many. I think I got 2,000 members, right? YouTube, and I don't even know. How do you find a members list on YouTube? So YouTube Studio, let's go check it out. I think I have 2,000 members. And look, I'm very lucky that I have 2,000 members because that's a lot.
That 2,000 members at $6 a month, that's a good monthly nut. Let me see. Where would you even look? Where would you find? Let me Google it. Where to find member count on YouTube? On the memberships tab. Thank you, motherfucker. Stupid. Memberships tab. It says, you can see all your active members, how long they've been a member, and their subscriber count on the membership tab in YouTube Studios. Okay, I'm in YouTube Studio. Dashboard, content, analytics, comment, copyright, customization. So nothing says members. Let me see. What's new? Recent activity, latest post. Let's look at it. Nope, doesn't say. Nothing says members. I love how you Google something and the answer is not there. Total members, our current active members, revenue, managing members. You can view a list of all your members, including total duration. Where? Last update to export a snapshot. Oh my God. Managing it. I don't know. Channel memberships, recent videos, audience. I guess it's under audience. Analytics. Let's go to analytics. There we go. Audience. And we're going to go to members. Let me see. Videos growing your audience. Research. Channel. Look at this. Channels my audience watches. Oh my God. You guys are fucking embarrassing. You guys are so embarrassing. 1320 video. It's just a six. Street speed. Mustang lifestyle. Stang mode. You guys fucking suck. I can't believe you guys watch that junk. Top subscriber. Watch time. Age and gender. It's all guys. It's literally all guys. Boy, I can't see a complete member list. That sucks. I'll find it eventually. I'm just going to waste your time here. Members, beat subs, Amory, absolutely. I'm an investor. Alex, OnlyFans incoming. Alex, Godzilla or Truviate Racing 352? Look, Truviate, I think he doesn't want to listen because he wants to prove a point. And he's like my, like I guys told you about my brother. My brother is one of those guys that you could tell him exactly how to make $100,000 a year. Sustainable, working 60, 70 hours a week. And he'll say, nah, I'm going to do it my way. And he'll make $20,000 a year working 80 hours a week. And he'll say, well, I did it my way. And I'm like, okay, cool. Go count your $20,000. Louis Ceballos, what's up, brother? Damn, Alex clearing 10,000 on live. 10,000? What are you talking about? No, I said the cat. Sausage Fest to the max. Which one of you motherfuckers sub to Stang Mode? Bro, you motherfuckers watch Stang Mode. Videos that grow your audience. So let me see. Videos that... Look, this is the analytics page here. And I'm blown away by it. So you guys obviously watch everything between... on Mondays, you watch everything at 8 p.m. See, the darker color is when you guys actually watch this shit. Content your audience watches. Cletus, Steve Morris, 1320, EV Nation. You guys are fucking embarrassing. You guys are Cletus watchers. Self-snitch. Love it. Subtitles, watch for subscribers, age and gender. Look at the age split. The age split is pretty good. Check it out. So 18 to 24, the biggest is 25 to 34, then it's 35 to 44, and then it's not a lot of old heads. I got 1.8% of my viewers are 65 years and older. Badass shit. I really would love to know the overview audience. I really want to look at the audience, like what is my member count, and I don't know how to look it up. I can't believe you guys watch Cletus stuff. Oh, it's so comments, dashboard. It doesn't say channel violations, ideas for you. It doesn't say. It doesn't say member list. And you get, maybe if I go to memberships, content analytics. Now I'm going to look. Now I'm determined to look because I'm going to waste your fucking time. It's a YDBT daily. It's not that big of a deal. Revenue research. How about research? Is it research? Explore your viewers searches. My viewers searches. Boy, you guys are weird. ASMR? You guys view ASMR? Look at you guys. You guys are weird. Your viewer searches ASMR. Oh, baby, you smell so good. Oh, hey, guys. Hell yeah, brother. How you doing? Today, we're going to take a look at the Godzilla model. You know,
I used to be an LS guy, but then after I got my ass gapped by a truck, and then, oh.
You guys are fucking freaks. You guys are freaks. I love it. I love you motherfuckers. Dirty ass motherfuckers. I only watch Alex and Doug DeMuro. I don't subscribe to Stang Mode or Thang Mode. I missed my notch. I had an 06. Gonna get another gold carburetor, small block, four stroke, or centrifugal. I never owned a car before. Bro, you are gonna either love it or hate it. I'm not sub to Stang Mode, and YouTube send recommendations for it. I have literally never been recommended Cletus or Stang Mode. I am recommended Space Shit. Let me see. Let me go to YouTube. I'll click on Premium, and I'll see what the channel recommends to me. Or let me see. Premium. Yeah, look at this. Whisk, who the fuck? Look at this. I get, look, this is my recommendations. Jesus, what the fuck? How come it doesn't do it? There we go. Come on. So I get me, some Corvette stuff, Starship, some chiropractic, Joe Rogan, regulator, a jet engine, the debt ceiling, diesel gains, dog shit, SpaceX, some stuff getting crushed. John Doc, shout out to John Doc. That's a badass channel. Yeah. Guys sleeping with cougars. Yeah. Oh, Steve Morris. Yeah, no Cletus, no Stang Mode. Like, nothing. And I have nothing to hide on that. Because the algorithm goes based on what you've watched. How do these people get time to watch other channels after working 40 hours and watching all your vids? Other YouTubers don't have Turvy. My shitty 1080 neutraled out today. Bro, that welcome to the club. 25 to 30. Gang. I get Coco. I'm guilty of watching conservative twins sue me. Does Senior still come to San Antonio to tune? No. Jason, he hasn't done that probably in 10 fucking years. The 65 plus crowd is the guys you attracted to wear the Corvette hats with the horsepower embroidered on the side, punching air. Bro, I'm the one searching ASMR videos every night. I think he meant to write videos. Has anyone else searched Alex Flores on YouTube and some singer comes up, looks fruity? Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that. Only members to Alex and MRL. Me too. I am a member to NASA Space Flight, Mexico Racing League, and Demonology. By the way, Demonology shouting out BMR was the fucking most hilarious shit I've ever seen. He obviously doesn't know the story with me and them. A live tracker of asteroids shows up on mine. A good thing it doesn't show viewer Google searches, right? I've never watched Cletus video. Good for you, Evan Smith. You're better off for it. Look, if you want to be entertained and you're 12, that is your fucking channel. And again, I am not saying that to slight him. I'm saying that because that is 100% God's honest truth. If you are a young boy and you want to watch a guy that's mildly entertaining, that is your wheelhouse. That is an absolutely popular channel. It does well. You know when you stop watching his stuff? When you get a full-time job. Like when you get a full-time job, you go, you know what? This is stupid. I want to learn stuff. I just started watching John Doc's channel. Yeah, he's like a bro. He has over 100,000 subs, but then you look at the views and they're stuck between 5,000 and 15,000. So you always wonder, like, where's the disconnect? A badass racer, John Doc, that has a low 4 second LS and what seems to be a probably a high 3 second Camaro soon in the eighth, has 100,000+ subs. But only 5 to 10,000 views per video. And I go, where's the disconnect? So we should fess up as to what we watch and drive. This is the most of your audience that watches. Absolutely. El Compa Alex, a.k.a. El Grenas. I discovered Alex by searching the difference of a Coyote F-150 to a Coyote Mustang. Guys, how did you come across my channel? Type in the chat quickly. Don't give me a whole fucking thing. Well, you know, me and my girlfriend were fighting one time, and then I was like, man, I'm fucking bored. Type on the chat how you came across my channel. Some of you will say YOLO douchebag. Just type in YDBT. And the rest of you, tell me how you came across, or what video made you watch my channel. By the way, the podcasts are doing well, and I don't know if that's something that's, like, it's 1,500 downloads, like, a big deal in 3 or 4 days. That seems to be the norm. So I'm going to slow down the upload because that seems to work better. This show will be up tomorrow and then I won't upload anything until the weekend and then get back at the lives and let them do their thing on their own. Years ago, someone asked if I watched Cletus. I said, who? I found Alex looking for dudes, but then I found he has a channel. Does Luntune Gen 3 1080 Mustang Motor Control Pack ECU? Of course. We do that a lot lately. Intake manifold shootout. That's the video. And some guy asked me if I did all that in one day. I said, absolutely. I'm going to start checking out John Doc's stuff. Thanks for the recommendation. Guys, if you watch John Doc, you will learn. You will learn if you watch John Doc's channel. He is a bro. He's just like a guy that just talks real racer shit. He's not getting views because he's not shouting out Simply Safe or BMR. I found your channel due to YDBT. Got it. My dad's been watching you since the beginning of the stream, says Jason. How old are you, Jason? YDBT, the GT500 stuff, meeting you in person, says potential 40-hour week. My brother recommended it. YDBT many years ago. This was back in 2018. I got sent your YOLO video on Chevy owners and Ghost Tune. Taurine Tune was looking up Lund Tuning. Why Mustang drivers crash. YDBT plus you lived in Houston. Intake comparison is the first I remember. YDBT says... Intake manifold comparison. Your black car got me hooked. I love that car. I'll get back on that car, on a car like that eventually. The goal for this year, guys, and I hope you really stick around for this. It's going to be difficult, but I'm going to try to do it, is to get into a house in 2023. So that means saving up $100,000. That's my goal. I got to have liquid $100,000. Does that mean some cars got to go? Absolutely. But once I get into the house, I can just buy them back or buy a similar vehicle back. But this year is going to be mostly about getting liquid on, you know, getting liquid in terms of assets and getting into a house, because the housing market is going to take a nice little dip. And I want to get myself into a $500,000 or $600,000 pad, an acre or so, decent sized garage, not massive, because there are no massive garages here for houses under $1 million. So that's the goal. So 2023 is going to be me saving money. So you're going to be seeing me selling a lot of stuff. Not the ZR1, not the GT500, not the Fairmont, but everything else is fair game. The white car can go for $35,000 as is, and I don't have to install a fuel system, axles, and a drive shaft. Get it gone. See you later, and I can pocket that money, and I will probably hit my goal probably sometime in November or something like that. I have ghost watched since the hat flip days. It was kind of funny. It's just Six shouted you out a long time ago and started watching the YDBT lives. I don't know where. Where the hell did he shout me out? I've literally never met the dude. I remember the Genesis, the VMP F-150 versus the Viper video, the Boss 302 stuff. Through VMP, I first saw you doing yourself for products for VMP. Going yourself, gotcha. I think the first one you reviewing a 9-second streetcar 680, that was Donnie's car. Donnie's car was a bad son of a bitch. 381 watching and 226 likes. Hit the like button. You know what? That's the peasants. I was searching for a tuner in my Gen 1, says Elizas. I started watching Alex when my 10R80 car was stalling. I bought a Fox and was considering coyote swapping, as several friends recommended your channel. Thank you, RoboStyle. And you're an OG member. You got the pregnant man. I saw the intake manifold shootout. Then YouTube recommended your live streams, and here we are. I found the channel when the other dude YOLO ran in. Alrix, I found you while watching Smurf. John Doc talks way too much for me. I like it. I like it. Because what do you think I do here? James Williams, all I do is talk here. Like, all I do is talk. I remember when the lives were still numbered per 1 week, right? It was like live stream number 12, and then it just went to shit after like 300. I have 4 years worth of live streams that I have to upload on the podcast. Any update on the 350 that guy had? No. So that's the other thing, guys. I think his name was Nathan or something like that. Look, I have equity in the white car. I have a good chunk of equity in the white car. And if they take in modified vehicles, I would consider trading mine in, getting some cash in my pocket, putting some down on the GT350, and giving you GT350 content. Let's do it. Haven't heard shit. It just disappears. Oh, and he does videos on stonework, which I kind of like. YDTB is this channel, and Judge Judy is all I watch. Come at me. Looking for a house with a garage. You can install a small lift and store two cars in one bay. I hate that I can't install a removal lift in ports in mind. I found you from shifting the coyote video. I emailed you, says N Chapa. No, you didn't. N Chapa, you didn't email me. Where? Did it go to my fucking spam? Did you hit up ydbt4life@gmail.com? N Chapa, you lying son of a... How dare you? Let me see. And what is your name? Nathan? Bryson? Turvy Air Freshener? That was some guy hit me up about a Turvy air freshener. I said it got there. 10R80 mascot, one for the soundboard. Lewis, and that's it. Lewis, Ian, Mustang Docking, some guy seeking life advice for the other channel. And that's it. You're probably in the fucking spam. Let me see. No. Oh, here's my Lala. Oh, Jesus Christ. You're in my spam, dude. All right. Let me make you not spam. Go to inbox. Oh, shit. Where'd it go? did you stay spam? Where are you? Inbox, GT500 headers, Turvy air freshener. Dude, now I lost you. Small. Look at the. If you guys saw my recommendations on my email, you'd laugh your ass, or you, my emails, you'd laugh your ass off. Let me see. Let me type in GT350. See if you show up. GT350. Okay, Enchapo. Okay, I got you, Enchapo. We're good. You were on my spam, bro. You got a weird sus email. All you do is talk, but you're funny as fuck. Makes it interesting. I'm learning a lot about coyotes also. Can't get better info anywhere else. 3-2-1 coyote swap. Camaro on the way. Look, I'm gonna do you a solid, James Williams. Why don't you just do a Gen 2 motor? Why a Gen 1? Do you have a Gen 1 motor and you want to do the Gen 2 heads? I'm sorry. Do you have Gen 1 timing components and you want to do a Gen 3 bottom end, Gen 2 heads, Gen 1 timing components? Why not just do a Gen 2 motor? I would rather you just do a Gen 2 motor. And just do a Gen 2 control pack and bada bing, bada boom, it's done. And you know where you want to, who you want to talk to about what chains, what control pack? Power by the hour. You call Power by the Hour and you literally say, hey, this is what I want. What do you think? And Pezzo, Travis, fuck, what's his name? His real name is Mike. I forget his name. I totally forget his name. The tall guy. Dude, I'm literally blanking. So it's Travis, Pezzo, Jake, Christian, and Christian will help you out for sure. Can we start over? Says Garage Built. I'm also obsessed with the 83 GT videos you first uploaded. Why are you obsessed with that? Out of all the videos, it was a grainy, nasty video with like a Sony Cybershot that I shot back in like 2000 something. They're always out there lying about emailing you. I never had an issue. Right. Wit SVT just emails me. And by the way, Wit, I fucked up on the headers, right? I had forgotten that I promised them to you. And I want to apologize to the local guy that I said I'd meet up with him and sell the headers to. I go, fuck, I was supposed to get Wit SVT the headers and he did pay. And he had dibs on them for months. So I had to hit up the guy locally. Look, I'm sorry. I'd love to make it up to you. If I can find some headers cheap, I'll give them to you. I really apologize. I feel I screwed you out of headers and got your hopes up. The local guy, I forget his name. But Wit SVT got the headers. He paid me. So I got to package them up. So once my headers show up for the ZR1, I'll put the GT500 headers in there and ship them to you, bro. Christian is good. Yeah, he's good people. Alex Voice is like universally, even if you're a Cletus fan. You are having a senior moment, viejo. The sound of the small block forward exhaust. I'm here waiting for Dark Cletark. Okay. Might have went to his spam because I used my work email. That's exactly it. If the work email is some weird sus email, it automatically dumps them in the spam. And in the spam folder, let me see what's in my spam folder. Okay. Some guy named Larry Kim. Stay hard. Vanessa says, stay hard. Speed Perks Reward. Gary Yeoman's Ford. Semrush Global Marketing. And then it says, some guy named D79 Turner. Yeah, he sent me a TikTok. Bro, that goes right to spam. Bro, I don't even check my spam. Ah, goddammit. Now I got to go back and check my spam. Oh my God, some guy named Adrian hit me up. I sent you a video on IG of an Evo blowing up at 350 hitting the rev limiter. Oh my God, what is happening? I can't believe you guys are emailing with sus emails. All right, I'm going to get out of here pretty soon. Nice YDBT Daily. So today we talked about how tracks can get basically purchased by a investment firm. And they sit on it, mismanage it on purpose. Again, because look, tracks and drag racing, it's a blue collar thing. So they're fucking over a certain demographic if you want to make it political. So they are fucking over a certain demographic by buying something that a blue collar class person does, mismanages it to purposely tank it, writes off the losses. That's right. That's a thing. Writes off the losses, tries to sell the land. The land can't be zoned appropriately. So they get county people to move some right of ways to make it able to be zoned properly. And thank goodness there's a small contingent of people being thorns on the sides of big investment firms like that that took away our hobby from the area. And now they're making them spend that extra money. Even if they lose, at least they had to spend that extra money. So guys, this show will be up tomorrow morning on Spotify. I will load it on Spotify and you guys should be able to enjoy that on your more favorite streaming platforms, Spotify. You can do it on the Alexa app. I don't think I'm on Apple Music yet because it takes like 2 weeks for the application. And I don't think I'm on Pandora yet because they literally don't have that service available. So it might pop up if they automatically populate in those areas. Now, for those of you that watch that dating channel, give me about 5 minutes. I'll switch everything over and I'll be right back on the dating channel. But the rest of you, I will see you guys Sunday, 9:30 a.m. for the Peasant Chat. Talk to the peasants and let the subscribers talk and not necessarily the members only. Have a good rest of your night. I'll see you guys Sunday and some of you in about 5 minutes. See you later.